Thank you, Beishus Moreno, Harav Shlita. We say this shir, Le'iloi Nishmas, Rabbi Yosef Ben Lapidos, our father of Rodney Berman, whose yotzai is the 12th of Tammuz, and we also say this shir, Le'iloi Nishmas, Rodney's brother, Reb Lapidos Ben Yosef, Chenad Brocha, whose yotzai is on the 7th of Tammuz, L'chaim Aruchim, wish you a long life, and all the family too. Yes, as you mentioned, David, we did discuss this subject a very long time ago, but I was asked to do it in another go, and some of the questions I ask will be different in any case this time. Perhaps the story starts best with the Shalot Shus of the Beis Avrohom, Rav Avrom Hirshovitz, who was a Rav in Melbourne in 1912, and he wrote that he was travelling on a boat from Sydney to San Francisco, Sydney, Australia to San Francisco. And when he arrived at San Francisco, he went into the local shul and said to everybody, "Good Purim." And they said, "It's not Purim today. Today is Tarnis Esther." So the situation is that the world has 360 degrees, and every degree, every 15 degrees is really 1 hour. So that's why we have what's called Greenwich Mean Time, and continent in Europe, they're an hour ahead, and in Israel, they're 2 hours ahead, and so on. And also going in the other direction, New York is 5 hours behind us, Los Angeles in California is 8 hours behind us, and that is the way it works. But we'll try not to get tied down in the nitty-gritty of the physics of it, but we're not discussing time zones if you go into outer space, because there it's another ball game completely. Some poskim say that when you're in outer space, you go according to Yerushalayim times. But you all know the story about the spaceship, which has on it three astronauts, and one of them is a Jewish astronaut. And they arrive back on Earth, two of the astronauts come out, and the third one doesn't come out. What's the matter with him? So they go in, and he's worn out. He's out of breath. They say, "What's the matter?" He goes, "Shachris min chamarev, shachris min chamarev, shachris min chamarev." What is a famous story is that in September 1941, there were 350 yeshiva bochrim from Mir who managed to escape from Lithuania. There was a very righteous Gentile by the name of Chuin Sempo Sugihara, who has been designated as one of the righteous amongst the nations. He was a vice consul for the country of Lithuania, and he defied his government's instructions by issuing thousands of visas to Jewish people in order that they can escape from the Nazis and go on the Trans-Siberian Railway from there to Japan and on to Shanghai. And I, in fact, learnt in yeshiva under a Rav Gittelman, who was one of the Bochrim who were in Shanghai, having crossed through Japan from the origin to escape from the Nazis. I also benefited in yeshiva from learning under Rav Shimon Selaznik, who was a Talmud of Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, who we will discuss later, who had the view that there was no such thing as an international dateline in Jewish law. But we'll come to that later. So what happened? There were what? Yes?
In America, you know, they want to abandon it completely. You know that?
Did they?
Daylight saving, I
mean. Oh, daylight saving time. Yeah. Yeah, they want to do it here as well. Okay, but we won't go into daylight saving time now. But what happened was that there were two groups of people who were in Japan, in Kobe in Japan, and there were some who sent a telegram to Rav Herzog, and it was also addressed to other rabbonim in Jerusalem, not just Rav Herzog, who was the chief rabbi of the Ashkenazim. They sent to the Gera Rebbe, the Briskerov, Rav Finkel, who was the Rosh Hashiv of Mir, Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer, and they sent a telegram: "Please answer immediately, on which day do we fast on Yom Kippur?" And Rav Herzog summoned many rabbonim to a meeting. And at that meeting, the main person who influenced the other rabbonim was Rav Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky. And Rav Tukhachinsky took the line, forgive the pun, that since Jerusalem is at the center of the world, and there, you've got Yerushalayim here. And he said, you have to measure halfway around the world, because the world is a ball, and halfway around the world is coming to 180 degrees, which is this line over here. You have the line on the map in front of you, marks the line east of Jerusalem, 180 degrees, according to Rav Tukhachinsky. It does run through Alaska. There is, in fact, a Chabad in Alaska, in Anchorage, which is on the west side of that line. We'll discuss that later. So that's Rav Tukhachinsky's line, which broadly follows the international date line, which is like a zigzag going around various islands. We've got to remember that here this is this really this, because we're talking about the globe being round. So you've got the international date line with its zigzags, and it zigzags a bit here, and it comes quite close, because Yerushalayim is 35 degrees east of Greenwich. 0 degrees is Greenwich, London, of course. So that was decided as the international date line in, I think, 1894, when a convention ruled, it wasn't according to law, but convention, that there would be an international date line, 180 degrees from Greenwich, with its zigzags. So his 180 degrees was a bit further along with the 35 degree difference because of Yerushalayim in its relation to Greenwich. They were convinced that he was right, and they sent back a psak saying that they keep Yom Kippur on the Wednesday, like everybody in Japan considers it to be Wednesday. However, there was a group who messaged the Chazon Ish. Yes? Hello, come in, sit down. You're welcome. Can we have a chair, please? Thank you. So just to recap, Rav Tukhachinsky ruled that the 180 degrees from Yerushalayim is halfway around the world, and therefore it runs through Alaska down here, and that will determine, because at some stage in the world you need a line, or do you need a line, but we'll look at that. At some stage in the world, because when we're going eastwards from England, then you go an hour ahead, 2 hours ahead, 3 hours ahead, and so on, and then it reaches a stage where here they're behind in America, that there must be some division somewhere where one place it's Tuesday and one place it's Wednesday. It can't go on and on and on. So by this principle of every single degree as you go along, there's a difference in time, and 15 degrees is an hour and so on. That's why you get the difference. The Chazon Ish, however, did not agree with Rav Tukhachinsky, and he took the line that the line is 90 degrees east of Yerushalayim. He agreed that Yerushalayim is in the middle of the world, but he based his opinion. Welcome, Norman. Norman is the one who instigated me to do this. Thank you, Norman. So the Chazon Ish said, look, if you go 90 degrees, he based it on quite a number of sources in the Rishonim. The Baal HaMor, the Razor, the Kuzari, and others. The principle being that when it's 12 noon in Jerusalem, it will be 6 a.m. at this point of 90 degrees. That's when the day starts. So to determine when the day starts, even though what he based on was on the issue of Molad, that when you're working out when Rosh Chodesh is, and we won't get bogged down in the subject of Molad, we once discussed it in another shiur, but that was the principle, that for the Chazon Ish, you have to have a 90 degree line, but you can't have an international date line running through a landmass, because then you've got this stupid situation where on one side of the road it's Shabbos and the other side of the road it isn't. It's a bit like the dust carts, and you've got a borough boundary between Barnet and Enfield. So the dustmen from Barnet collect from one side and the dustmen from Enfield collect from the other side. Well, you can do that with refuse collection, but you can't do that with Hilchos Shabbos. So the Chazon Ish said, I'm not worried about that, because there's a principle called Gerera. What is Gerera? He said, if you bang down into Australia and you have that line, it's not really going through Australia. He says it will go round the coastline eastwards, and we circle Australia, that the whole of Australia falls within this part to the west and not to the east. Similarly, Siberia and other countries, and the map that you have in front of you shows the Chazon Ish exact line, which goes in all wriggles around Siberia like this, and wriggles around Australia. There's also the question of the Philippines and Indonesia. but the query is relating to Japan. Japan is clearly on the east side of that line, as well as New Zealand. So New Zealand, although Japan and New Zealand come within the international civil date line to the west, for the Chazon Ish, it's to the east. So the Chazon Ish said, eat on Wednesday, fast on Thursday. And he didn't even say keep one day out of Sofek. After all, there's a danger to life if you fast for 2 days. And so he said with Shabbos, in Japan and New Zealand, according to the Chazon Ish, you keep Shabbos on Sunday. You don't keep Shabbos on Saturday, which of course became a very controversial issue. And of course, if you're going into a shul where they believe that it's Shabbos on Saturday, you mustn't drive to your car to the shul, and it's a real zilzal, an insult to the place. I have a friend called Anthony Lippmann who became a rabbi. He grew up in Hampstead Garden suburb, and he was offered a job as the rabbi of Wellington in New Zealand. And he came around to our house, farewell and so on. And I said to him, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep to the Chazon Ish? That on, you know, because in their shul, they will keep Shabbos on Saturday, but Sunday is an ordinary weekday and they put on tefillin. I said, what are you going to do? He said, what choice have I got? If I'm the rabbi of the Kehillah, I'm going to have to officiate at a funeral on the Sunday. How am I going to do it if I keep Shabbos on that day? So I have to rely on Rav Tukhachinsky to say that the international dateline is there. That is the problem. So we've got the principle of Gerera to understand the Chazon Ish. According to Rav Kohn, who I chatted with just a few minutes ago, he feels that because the Chazon Ish is based on so many Rishonim, the Chazon Ish has a much stronger approach which we can rely on, whereas Rav Tukhachinsky is based on Svara. It's based on an assumption that since Yerushalayim is the middle of the world, you go halfway around the world and then you have a dateline. So although most Rabbonim of the world do go by Rav Tukhachinsky, there is a very strong following to the Chazon Ish because his reasoning is a very strong one based on the Rishonim. So I said to Rav Kohn, yeah, but they're based on the Molad and not the dateline. The truth is, there isn't really any psak about dateline in Chazal, in the Gemara. So that's why you come to another view, there are in fact many views, which is that there is no such thing as a dateline, because there was no psak from Chazal, from the Gemara, about a dateline. So what do? So Rav Issa Zalman Meltzer and other Rabbonim said that you follow the international dateline. Rav Mertzbach, who was one of the founding Rosh Yeshiva of Kol Torah, said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the wisdom to the nations of the world when they decide another dateline, that they should decide it at that point, 180 east of Greenwich. And the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them that power. So there are Rabbonim who say, go according to the international dateline, good enough. And there are others who go as far as the Lubavitcher Rebbe, who said, well, you go into shul, you daven when they daven, and that's it. You follow, whenever they say it's Shabbos, that's when it's Shabbos. The problem with the international dateline being used for halacha, it might sound very logical, because if there's no halacha in the Shas, in Gemara, then you can follow what the goyim are doing. Yeah, no problem. The problem, though, is that the island of Samoa changed its status of international dateline in 2011, because they were doing business with New Zealand. So Samoa is you won't see it on the maps in front of you because they're too small, but Samoa is just slightly east of the international dateline.
Samoa's on there.
You can see it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, there's two islands. One is called Samoa, one is called American Samoa. American Samoa is a bit more to the east. So the Samoa decided that because they're doing a lot of business with New Zealand, they're going to change their status. So in 2011, they missed out the 30th of December, and they joined up with the side of the dateline which New Zealand is on, because it was much easier for them to do business. But if people can chop and change as to which they're doing, can therefore we say the halacha is like this? That, you know, 1 week is Shabbos is one day, and the next week Shabbos is on another day. And then, although Rav Tukhachinsky seems to be very logical in terms of being near to the international dateline, the problem with Rav Tukhachinsky is that there are areas of land between the civil dateline and his dateline, such as Hawaii, and Honolulu. So according to him, Shabbos won't be on Saturday, but it will be on Friday, or shall I say Thursday night. Because the way it works is that, according to Avtu Kuczynski, things don't change until you come to this line here, and therefore Hawaii, which is west of that line and east of the international date line, has Shabbos on Friday. Now, there are 10,000 Jews in Hawaii. I've met one recently. When do they keep Shabbos? When you walk into a shul, their Shabbos is on Saturday. But according to Avtu Kuczynski, that's wrong.
Who's Saturday?
Pardon?
Who's Saturday?
Right, when they say it's Saturday, which is our Saturday, Hawaii, although they are many hours behind us, because that they are, well, California is 8 hours.
It's more than 12 hours.
Right, so,
the international date,
yeah, so Hawaii is way behind us in hours, and they are keeping the same Saturday as the United States. But according to Rav Tukhachinsky, it's already Friday. It's still Friday over here, and then you have a problem. So if you're in Hawaii, you have to go according to the Chazon Ish or Rav Isozama Meltzer. You can't easily go unless. Now, all right, if you're living there, it's one thing. But what if you're just traveling? Then maybe you'll be machmir, and on one day you will be keeping their Shabbos, and on the other day you might just do the Chumras. So that is.
Tukhachinsky would say that. Hawaii is ahead, not behind.
Yeah, so Hawaii is ahead.
Oh.
Right.
They're not ahead of us,
then. So when they say it's Saturday.
No, for the international date line, Hawaii is behind us.
Yes, but for
Tukhachinsky, they're ahead of us.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, if on January the 1st, you can already watch the fireworks display on December the 31st here, where Sydney Harbour, they make a big firework display, and they say the new year has come in because they're 12 hours ahead of us, right? So I give a shiur on Wednesday nights to a couple of people, and one of them was travelling, and he was in New Zealand a few months ago. So my 8:30 p.m., I think it was it. He was at 11 hours difference. He came in online at 7:30 p.m. a.m. the following morning to join into my shiur. And the picture on Zoom and the clarity of the sound was better than the other guy who joined in from Hendon around the corner.
Sorry, can I just get something straight? According to Rabbi Tukhachinsky, Hawaii's on the west, on the left of that date line. The left being the same sort of time zone
as New Zealand, as Australia and New Zealand.
Yeah, so they'd be keeping Shabbos on a Friday, according to Ralph Tukhachinsky.
And according to the international date line, it should be the same as us. Although, mind you, it's ahead of us, but it could be a Saturday. Yes,
and it can be very tricky when you're travelling, especially if you go to Japan, where, according to Chazon Ish, Shabbos is on Sunday. Let's say the last 2 days of Pesach are Wednesday and Thursday, and you happen to be in Japan, so you will be keeping Friday as a sofek, when you won't want to do any melachos, you won't be cooking, and then you've got Shabbos coming, and then you've got the Sunday after it. So you've got 5 days when you might not be doing melacha. That can be a bit difficult, especially if you want to light Shabbos candles. So the psak there is on the Friday you can light Shabbos candles, because if it is Yom Tov, you're allowed to light Shabbos candles. So Rav Bezalel Stern in Bezalel Chochma talks about making a kind of Erev Tavshilin on the Tuesday. Although you normally only ever make Erev Tavshilin on Wednesday or Thursday when Friday comes into Shabbos, here you've got a situation where you've got Yom Tov on Wednesday and Thursday. Friday you'll keep Yom Tov out of Sofek, but you can light the Shabbos candles from another flame. Then you keep Shabbos, then you've got Sunday. You've got 5 days without cooking. Well, living on salads never did anyone any harm. So,
and you're eating matzah for another 5 days.
Oh, yeah, and you'll still be eating matzah. You're quite right. Well, everybody likes matzah, don't they? So those are the interesting questions which come up. I know of somebody who was davening Slichus in Australia, then had to go to England, boarded a plane, went via the Pacific, and he came to Golders Green, and he came to Shul, and they were that morning just at the same point of sleepless where he had left off in Australia. Sometimes you might leave Australia on a plane going via the Pacific, and you will arrive at New York on Shabbos. And you should try to organize your flights in such a way that you do not fly into Shabbos. And it's possible even to miss a Shabbos. Rav Heber writes about somebody who goes on China Air from... So he goes from San Francisco to Taiwan. It's 7,500 miles. It's quite a trip. But it's possible that you leave on a Friday afternoon, and then when you arrive in Taiwan or in China, you'll be arriving on Motzei Shabbos. And then you'll lose the whole Shabbos. Oh, you say, I've got Shabbos on the plane for a few hours. But there's an interesting teshuva by the Eretz Tzvi saying that we have to go according to the time that you leave. Your Shabbos is based on your guf, on your presence, and not necessarily on the place that you are at, which is another question. Do we go according to your own physical presence, or do we go according to the place you're at? It's old drosha. My son gave a bar mitzvah drosha about this subject. Does it go according to the guf, or does it go according to the makom? So with Shabbos, it says, B'chol Moshvo Seichem, or Lo Sevaru Eish, B'chol Moshvo Seichem. So the whole emphasis of Shabbos seems to be the place you are at. Whereas, what about Bar Mitzvah, or Pidgin Ben, or Bris Mila? Well, Bris and Pidgin Ben, the 8th day or the 31st day has to be counted according to the days, irrespective of what part of the world you're on. So if you bring a baby across the globe, don't do a bris on the 7th day. Thank you. I see you're smiling. Jeff kindly drew my attention to a Ramban, Vayera Vayvoke, right? When does the day start? Yeah, we don't want to get too much into the philosophies of it, because it's more interesting to deal with the practical halachas, everyday questions which arise. So, what is the situation? With a bris, definitely the 8th day, irrespective of where you are. Hefsek Sahara, for a woman who's preparing for mikvah, she will count 7 full days. Irrespective of when she travels, it might end up being only 7 days, only 6 days, then she counts 7 full days. The same way then is Pidgin Ben. However, Bar Mitzvah goes according to the date, the calendar date. Well, now, what about Sfiras HaOmer? Now, but before I get to that, I was talking about the Schutz Eretz Tzvi. Rav Arye Tzvi Frommer, who was a Kozhig Lov Rebbe, he died in 1943. So he said, when you are in a particular place, when Shabbos comes in, your Shabbos then is defined by when it started, and there are certain dinim such as Mukso, which are dependent on Bein Hashmoshes. So we say, Migoyd Haskatzoi, then when you have a muksa through Bein Hashmoshes, that remains muksa for the whole of Shabbos. Eruv to Chumin, when you make an Eruv to allow yourself to walk 4,000 amos when you're outside the town, so that Eruv is in place for the Bein Hashmoshes. It's also a din of Eruv Chatzeros. That Eruv is there, Bein Hashmoshes, and that affects the whole of the Shabbos. So that if in some way your Shabbos is changed by the fact that you, let's say, boarded a flight, have like Shabbos for a few hours, but your Shabbos is based on when you left. Mm-hmm. So ideally, you should avoid doing malacha on those few hours on the plane when it seems to be Shabbos. But really, lahalacha, your Shabbos doesn't exist at all, because you're based on the time, place that you left. And then only when you disembark from the plane does your new time zone come into effect. So in effect, you're losing a Shabbos, which l'chatchila you must not do. You should, general principle of Moshvo Seichem. Now, what about Shavuos? Or Sfiras HaOmer? So Rabbi Sel Shtern discusses Sfiras HaOmer. He says, if you cross the Pacific, going from east to west. So let's say you cross 6 p.m. on Monday, it becomes 6 p.m. Sunday, so you've gained an extra day. So that extra day, you'll count the same number again you counted the previous night, but without a brocha. And then the following night, you will join in with the next number. Although there are some views which say you can't carry on with a brocha at all. What you can't do is say two dates. Say today is number 34 and today is number 35, because that's not counting. So, and that's why you can't have Sfeika Dioma by Sfira. But what about West to East? What about Los Angeles to Australia? So Sunday 6 p.m. becomes Monday 6 p.m. So you've lost a day. So what you do is you will count. You will get some daybreak after the counting the night before. When you get to that daybreak, you'll count the next number without a bracha. And then the following evening, you'll count again the next number with a bracha. That's the general psak with Sfira, but there's a lot of debate about it. Shavuos is a very difficult subject. Why is Shavuos a difficult subject? Because Shavuos doesn't go according to your calendar. Shavuos is defined by the Torah as being on the 50th day. You count 49 days, the 50th day, count 7 weeks. Sheva Shabbosos Tamimos Siyeno. And Tamimos means there has to be perfect weeks. You can't dray with a missing out a day or adding a day. So what do you do about Shavuos?
Surely it's the perfect weeks of the Kippurah.
Right, so the general psak is you have to go according to the Kehillah. It's a zilzul, it's an insult to the place that you're in. If you walk into a shul and you want to keep Shavuos on a different day, and the Minchas Yitzchok writes about this in Chelek Gimel, Siman Nun, he says you go according to the local practice. When is Shavuos? That is when you keep Shavuos. You can't do anything different. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, however, said that you have to count the days in the order that you're experiencing them personally, and you will keep Shavuos on your 50th day. So obviously you won't insult the Kehillah that you're in by doing anything which is openly an insult to them, by doing a melacha, but according to him, your Shavuos is on the 50th day, irrespective of where you are. So you will end up, if you go into New Zealand, then according to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, you will be counting as normal and keeping Shavuos a day later, which is highly controversial. Nobody else agrees with Chabad on doing this, but you can understand the fact that Chabad have this problem. They got Chabad houses all over the world in these weird places, and they're where the questions come up. You can go on the website of Chabad and find they have a place in Anchorage in Alaska. Amazing when they light Shabbos candles in this time of the year, very, very late at night, where it's not yet night. It doesn't even get dark properly. And they bring out Shabbos at like 1:30 in the morning. Interesting to see there's a man in. But we're not discussing now the North Pole and places.
To Iceland once, and we made Shabbos 10:25 as a flight coming from here.
Yeah.
And artificially, we had made Shabbos out in the middle of the night and made Havdorah breakfast the next morning.
Right. Well, there was once a member of the shul called Nathan Nerl, who was very instrumental in building the shul, who was once travelling to Finland on business, and it was in the Arctic Circle. He actually left the country specially to be out of there for Shabbos, to be somewhere else where there is day and night. That is the matzias of it. What about Ner Chanukah? You go according to the place that you're at, even though you might do the same number twice. Rav Stone talks about going from Australia to Vancouver in Canada. He says, if you've got your own room, and Ner Chanukah is based on your dwelling, if you have your own room there, then you might light Betzino in a different way, but he doesn't say if you with a brocha or without a brocha. But the Ikka Din of Ner Chanukah is one light anyway, so it's no big deal if you do one more or one less. A big question comes up about Kaddish, and obviously about davening, tefillah. Well, if one is saying Kaddish for a parent, and your 11 months stop, and you will stop saying Kaddish, you don't want to say Kaddish for 12 months, because we say that for 12 months, one says it for a Rosha, and you don't want to label your parent as a Rosha. On the other hand, if you do travel from New Zealand to England, you'll find that although you stopped saying Kaddish already with your 11 months being up in New Zealand or Australia, when you get to London, you've still got another day of those 11 months. Do you say Kaddish again, or don't you? Or do you risk saying that your father is a Rosha by saying Kaddish what is essentially the 12th month? So Rav Stern says, if you've davened Mincha in Australia, And then you come to Los Angeles, and the shul is davening mincha again, and it is for you, it's already the 12th month. You do say Kaddish again at that mincha, because in that place it's still your 11 months. But if you said Maariv when you were in Australia, and then you left there after Nacht, then when you get to Los Angeles, you don't say Kaddish anymore. Because by having said Maariv, that marks the fact that you're into the 12th month, and then you will be insulting your father if you say Kaddish. Now, also the question is davening with Mincha and Maariv or whatever. If you daven in Australia, Maariv and Shacharis, let's say on a Motzei Shabbos, and then you travel, and then you travel to Los Angeles, and then you arrive there, and you, it's Motzei Shabbos again. Do you daven again? Do you daven Shacharis again? So he says, no, you don't have to. But on a weekday, you may daven Mincha again. But if the dateline is into another night, you don't need to repeat Maariv and Shacharis when you've already done it for that specific day. Tisha B'Av, seasonal practice this week. Tisha B'Av, if you travel from Australia, he says, to Vancouver, and then you're arriving on the 8th of Av. So you've started your fast, you started Tisha B'Av, and then you fly, and you arrive at Vancouver on the 8th of Av. What do you do? Do you have to carry on fasting or then fast the second day? He says what you do is you complete your own fast which you started. And when it's night time and it's Nacht, their Tisha B'Av is just starting and your Tisha B'Av is ending. You may then eat. And on the morrow, the following day, you may eat Betzino in private where nobody else sees you eating because you've done it. You've done your Tisha B'Av and you don't have to do it twice. Even if it gets dark on your flight, then once it's dark on your flight, you can eat straight away. The general principle is you eat once it's dark and you don't do anything to endanger your life.
I remember hearing from the Rabbi Isaac Bernstein that for certain purposes, I can't remember what they are, when you're travelling, you adopt the place you're going to.
Yes, when in Rome, do as the Romans do.
Yeah.
Because
you mean you're not there yet.
But you're not there yet. No. Well, if you're not there yet, then it's very clear that you go according to what it was your status is when you left, and you keep that status till you're. You see, that's the problem. If you fly into New York from Australia, you might fly into Shabbos, but for you it's not Shabbos. As long as you're on the plane, the problem is if they tell you to get off that plane, you are entering Shabbos, and you come from outside the Tchum, and so it makes all sorts of.
How do you get off the
questions?
Well, what do you do when you get off the plane? You can't travel anywhere by car or...
No, then you're in Shabbos. You have to make a request when they're cleaning the plane or there is refueling. Can I please stay on the plane? Don't organise your trips that way. Avoid Shabbos.
Maybe it could be a Maariv. You're travelling in the evening, they're doing Maariv on the plane. Are you doing it with Boris Hashem there on the main room, depending on which way? Or do you assume that a plane's up in, is outside Eretz Yisrael anyway, if it's over the
room? Well, that's the Minhag Eretz Yisrael, not to say Boris Hashem there on the main room. And there are many in Chutzlites who don't say it, in the Nusach Sfad or the Ezus Mizrach. So that's not really an issue. But there's a lot of Gemaras one can argue from one way or the other way. The Radvaz, who's a Rishon, writes in Chelek Aleph Ein Vov, he says, when you're traveling beyond the Far East, he applies a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Samach Tes, which says that when you're in the Midbar, you're in the desert, and you don't know when Shabbos is, you count 6 days and you keep Shabbos on the seventh. So when a person's in a desert, he's keeping Shabbos on the seventh. So that would imply that your Shabbos is a Chovas Haguf. It's a duty on your body. It's not according to the place that you're at. And as the Rambam writes, Shekol echod mona shisha v'shovas b'shvi. Every person counts 6 days, and then on the seventh. So that implies that it's on the individual. But can that really be a proof? Because that is talking about when you're in a desert. So in a desert, you don't even know really if it's Shabbos. It's a zikaron v'alma. It's a memorial to what Shabbos is, that you don't forget when Shabbos is, the concept of Shabbos. But when the Torah says Moshvo Seichem is talking about the place that you're in. And therefore it's a chiyuv on the mokum, on the place. So when you walk into a shul, you keep according to them. So there is this dilemma, Rav Tukhachinsky, Chazon Ish, other opinions. The minhag olam of what most poskim say in the Haimish olam is to keep according to Rav Tukhachinsky, especially when you're going to the Far East, to Japan and New Zealand, and that on Sunday you will keep the chumras, namely you will avoid doing actual malacha. You might be able to do certain malachas with a shinoi, with a difference, because the derabbanons you won't have to keep, such as mukta. And that way you're satisfying the Chazon Ish as well, that you're not doing actual malacha on the Sunday. That is the general psak people get.
But that doesn't work for the community of Hawaii.
Pardon? Right. The problem with Hawaii is that you're not likely to get a psak to keep Shabbos on the Friday. But if you are in Hawaii on the Friday, it is best, again, to do the chumras that you may later fill in, because it might not be Shabbos. So you'll later fill in. And you can make a Tanai with Tefillin, Shabbos, Shabbos, Tefillin, or you can make a Tanai, and that you'll refrain from actual malacha, that you'll cook your food on Thursday afternoon and have it ready, and then you'll keep Shabbos and Daven with the Tzibur on Shabbos Saturday, that you will be keeping 2 days Shabbos, according to both opinions. That is the way many Haredi rabbis will paskin. But from the way Rabbi Kahn spoke to me, he gave preference to the Chazon Ish. The problem of the Chazon Ish is very much when you are in Japan, especially for a long period on business or New Zealand, it's unlikely Rabbonim will tell you to keep Shabbos on the Sunday. But Rav Vosner writes, and he wrote a letter to Rav Halpanas about this, is the best way forward is keep Shabbos when they keep Shabbos, don't do any zilzul, don't insult the mokum, the minhag mokum. And that, whether it's the Friday or the Sunday, you'll keep the chumras of refraining from actual malacha. In actual fact, to do actual malacha is not very common on an ordinary Shabbos. I mean, you know, you daven, you come home, you serve the food. You know, all right, you're not cooking. buying and selling is not really a malacha, but if you do buying and selling, it's a drabbonon. You're told, don't worry about the drabbonons, keep the daraisos. You know, you're not ploughing the land, you're not using a combine harvester, and if you're not tying knots and things like that, it's not hard to keep a day of Shabbos without doing actual malachas. It's not so hard. But certainly if you want to keep food fresh, you'll certainly need a fridge, especially if it's for 5 days. We'll end up with an interesting riddle. So you've got twin boys who live in Australia. Now in Australia, some people are makbid not to go out on the beach on Sunday because they're worried they're walking into Shabbos. Because, according to the Chazon Ish, because his line goes around the edge of Australia. So once you go out on the beach and you're swimming, then you're going into Sunday. But what if you've got a family who live in Sydney, Australia, and they've got two twin boys, and one of the boys is living in Los Angeles for a short time because he's going to a boarding school there. So the boy in Los Angeles is way behind Australia. Let's just assume now Rav Tukachinsky and Chazon Ish as well. Australia is on the same hemisphere. So if you have these two twin boys, the one in Australia, let's say we're talking about the 18th of Tammuz is their birthday. And the 18th of Tammuz, let's say, is a Thursday. And the Bar Mitzvah date, their birthday is the 18th of Tammuz. So 18th of Tammuz arrives first in Australia. And the boy gets called up to the Sefer Torah, Mazel Tov, drink a l'chaim. And then he boards a plane to join his twin brother in Los Angeles. And he arrives, it's quite a long flight, 7,500 miles, but he arrives in Los Angeles on the afternoon of the 17th of Tammuz. The day before is a fast day, the 17th of Tammuz, and he flies from Australia into Los Angeles on the 17th of Tammuz in the afternoon. Can this boy be called up to the Sefer Torah? His twin brother can't. His twin brother isn't Bar Mitzvah till that night, or the following morning. But He can't be called up on the 17th of Tammuz. So Rabbi Salah Stern says, that boy who became Bar Mitzvah in Australia, who then flies to Los Angeles, can be called up on the 17th of Tammuz in the afternoon. Why? Because he became Bar Mitzvah already, and once you become Bar Mitzvah, you become a Chiyuv in all the mitzvahs, and that sticks. You can't undo it anymore. So when he flies to Los Angeles, you can't undo his status as being an adult. But his twin brother, who might even be older than him by some minutes, is not yet Bar Mitzvah and can't be called up, but he can be called up. A nice quiz question.
Yeah, you know, if they're identical twins, the Gabbai wouldn't know which one to call.
Yeah, well, even better.
Surely the question would be, if you had twins born in London and they wanted the bris in Australia, and one parent took one child east, and the other one took the child west.
Right, so if you've got two... Well, the Gemara could see a Rabbi. Yaakov Emden writes about the two people in the desert, and this Gemara we discussed. But if one goes eastwards and one goes westwards, and they meet at the same point, for one it will be Shabbos, for one it will be a Sunday. He says, how can that be? It's impossible. That's the dilemma. With a bris, you count to the eighth day, irrespective of your time zones. So it's not really such a difficulty with the subject of the bris. But with Bar Mitzvah, it is, because you go according to the calendar date. Anyway, this week is Tisha B'Av, and this subject you might think has nothing to do with time zones whatsoever, but certainly it's indicative that the best place in the world to keep the mitzvahs is in Eretz Yisrael, which has normal times, when Shabbos comes in and goes out at normal times, and not like we've got here in England. And so that's a siman that we should be living in Eretz Yisrael. But the other thing is that with all the doubts we've got about Rav Tukhachinsky, the Chazon Ish, Rav Yisrael Zalman Metzer, there are other opinions as well we haven't discussed. What we do know is that when Mashiach comes, he will sort this out for us. He will tell us what the final psak is. We might have our guesses as to who will be right. We might have our guesses as to what the psak will finally be. According to Rav Kahn, it will be either the Chazon Ish or be the international dateline, but it won't be Rav Tukhachinsky. But, you know, we can have a debate till the cows come home. We want Mashiach now. Please God, Mashiach will come. Rav Yomeinu, that this Tisha B'Av should be a day of festivity. It's already called Moed. And may you have an easy fast and enjoy your travels around the world.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
Mashiach, make sure he doesn't come across the date line on the way.